It's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and just as you would expect after the 50-degree weather there for a couple weeks or whatever it was, it's snowing outside right now. Thank you.
Again.
Thank you for pointing that out to me. I appreciate that. We need more of that right now, but it is March, so can't get too far ahead of ourselves. We are taking your phone calls tonight at 812-333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight. We've got the Pacers in season, and they are currently up around the 4 seed in the East, so playing very well despite having to trade away Paul George. Of course, the folks that have come in are doing a great job, as is Kevin Pritchard, in putting that roster kind of back together. Bojan Bogdanovic lighting it up of late. And you got to get used to saying that name because it's getting pretty consistent now all of a sudden.
Bogey.
There you go. We've got a Colts offseason. The draft for the NFL is in about a month and a half, but a lot of questions about offseason roster moves and that sort of thing. It's spring practice has started for IU football, and there's already a quarterback controversy. It's not really controversy so much as it is who's going to end up winning the job. There's nothing bad about it right now, other than you don't know for sure. But that's what spring practice is supposed to be for, is to help you find that out. And they're doing that. And the other thing that we'll find out here in the somewhat near future, we're not sure quite when, of course, is exactly what the 2018-2019 Hoosier basketball team is going to look like. They graduate 5 seniors from their roster. And there's obviously a question about Jawan Morgan, whether he will enter the protocol, find out what he needs to work on, whether he'll be able to go out or whether he'll come back is an open question. You can certainly make your own judgments on that. Deron Davis coming back from injury. Other folks, are they all going to be coming back or not? You've got this kid, Race Thompson, we don't know much about because he redshirted all of last year. But it is going to be a very different looking group next year for the Hoosiers, and of course freshmen will have a lot to do with that, and freshmen who have not yet committed to Indiana will probably have a lot to do with that. At least we certainly hope so at the end of the day, and we will have one of them that we hope will be a Hoosier next year, Romeo Langford in New Albany, on our airwaves on Saturday. So we'll talk about that also as the South Panthers go up against New Albany. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Glass, let's start with the roster for the Hoosiers. We know Josh Newkirk, Robert Johnson, Colin Hartman, Tim Priller, Freddie McSwain, we know they're eligibility has been exhausted, so they will be moving on. You can come up with anyone as to why they might want to leave this program right now on scholarship, but does anybody stand out to you right now as a guy that, you know, that you're a little bit concerned that might not be getting the looks that they want? You know, Devontae Green has been in and out, you know, and all over the place a little bit, but he got a pretty good role late in the season. Justin Smith, same kind of thing, but Clifton Moore, he's only a freshman, they barely saw him all year long. So, I mean, there's got to be a couple guys there that you at least ask the question about.
You always do, and because that's the world we live in now. I think I saw somewhere on Twitter, maybe Jeff Goodwin, we usually talk about his Twitter feed this time of year, about how many people are on the transfer block or the transfer market. I think it was last year over 800 kids moved. So it's no longer the exception to the rule. Mm-hmm. It's the, I got to get mine, I only have a finite amount of time. And to be fair, if the coaches can hop jobs when they want, if the kids aren't happy and want more playing time, that's fine. Do I see any of it happening? I really don't, because I don't think there was anybody per se on Indiana's team that didn't get a quote-unquote a shot this year to show what Archie Miller's worth.
Yeah, Curtis Jones already left. So.
Now, here's a great example for you. Mr. Basketball from Illinois, Mark Smith, signed up to play for John Gross. He leaves. Brad Underwood's the new coach. He plays the whole season, averages about 13 minutes a game, scores 6 points, grabs a couple rebounds, and he said the day their season's over, I'm out of here. My style doesn't fit with his style. I didn't come here to play that kind of basketball.
Yeah.
Whether it's defense, guarding, running,
whatever you're
exercising, doing weights at 2 in the morning or whatever it is. Yeah, whatever the style they're playing. And he said, look, it didn't fit my style. I don't have any ill will. It's just I don't want to play like this. This isn't what's best for my game, and that's fair, because the reason I bring that up is you could make perhaps an argument, and I'm not sure for exactly who, this is say, I didn't sign up to play in Archie Miller's style.
Right.
Now that I've been a year through it, I see that maybe this isn't for me. I need to be somewhere else where I can shoot 26 times a game, or I don't have to play hard on the defensive end, or something, whatever it can be. And us trying to read the mind of an 18 to 20-year-old is just ridiculous. We shouldn't try that anyhow.
Right.
So, but if it does happen, I'm not concerned or worried about it, because in the simple sense, it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to have a – who would be the shockingest move? Juwan Morgan transferring would be the most shocking move. And the reason that's not going to happen is because the development of Juwan Morgan from November to February was – through the roof,
mm-hmm.
and it was tangible, and it was rewarded as a second team All-American. He was named All District. I don't even know what that means, but he's All District something or the other in the tri-state area or something like
sure.
that. But it's better than not being All District, because it shows you somebody's noticed you have gotten better and played at a level.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious.
It was pretty obvious. Yeah. And to the point about Devontae Green to single him out in the sense where he had no minutes, some minutes, a lot of minutes, and this and that. Did Devontae Green get better or worse as the year went on? It's not even close. He got so much better.
Yeah, but you mentioned style, and that's the interesting thing. And here's a kid from New York City also, a long way from home. I know it's unfair to speculate, but it is. It's that time of year, and they should have some freedom to do so. But if you're a guy who wants the freedom to play your game, and he's a guy that needs to have the ball in his hands and be able to create, Archie Miller's system, they certainly had some I wouldn't say butting of heads, because that suggests that he's arguing with Archie. That's not what I mean. But his style certainly seemed at times to fit well when he made the right passes. And when he was trying too much, it didn't fit so
but
well.
But it wasn't like he was banished to Siberia either.
Correct. No, correct.
He was given chances to play through some of those downs and ups. That's the one thing. If
Archie played him, which means Archie likes what the kid has and what the kid
brings. Starts him, playing him, starting
exactly.
him. So that's what Archie do in college? Was a point guard.
Yeah.
If you want to, that's a guy who's been there, played point guard in the ACC. That's a pretty good thing that you don't get at every school you go to, right? You can look around at some coaches that haven't played at that kind of level. Now, are they better coaches? Well, that's up to the kids. But I think when you look at all of this, the interesting question from it all is, what do you see your role being next year? Do you want to be – if you're not a kid – who doesn't want to get in the gym and get after it and improve, and you want to go somewhere else and just play ball,
right?
Well, that's fine, because that's why there's 800 transfers a year. I mean, not everybody's going to get along. In the old days, a transfer was a big deal, because a kid
absolutely.
Got a scholarship and a kid was there, and everybody put the time and effort into it, and you're supposed to have those learning experiences and those growing pains, and you get through them, and that's why everybody cries on senior day when they have their emotional speech because of the road they went through.
And to be fair, kids weren't as empowered as they are nowadays.
And they haven't
good
been
or bad, whether that's good or bad is up to debate.
Right. And a lot of people in this day and age, and they were back in that day and age as well, but the information age we live in, are surrounded with people, or can be surrounded by people now, that see every game, see everything, read the social media, hear this, do that. And sometimes the kids are influenced by outside sources that don't have their best interest in order. If you don't have a strong home, if you don't have a strong parental group, if your AAU coach thinks it's better for the AAU coach that you transfer, well, that's not always the best advice to get. But some of these kids just don't have any other sounding boards or any other feedback in it. But what I think from seeing the first year, and look, I have no inside information on this. I want to make that abundantly clear. My role with Indiana basketball was doing the games. I didn't get to one practice. I didn't spend any time hanging out with anybody. So it is speculation from my sense, but this is a speculation that I felt by watching and looking at the bench and watching warm-ups and things like that. They run a professional grade system. They're on time for meetings. Mm-hmm. They're on time for press conferences. They're on time for this.
Right.
They do it this way, that way. Mm-hmm. And some guys just don't like that.
Yeah.
Some guys don't like being, if they're a minute late, they don't think it's a big deal, and the coaches do.
Yeah, no question.
Mallory time is a great example of that.
You better be 5 minutes early, at
and
least.
Then you're, if you're 5 minutes early, you're 10 minutes late. Isn't that how the rule goes? Yeah. But that's the point. Some of those things don't happen. But if you want to be in an atmosphere that stresses doing things, quote-unquote, the right way, in the sense of, this is why we do it this way. We're on time. We do this. We get this. We get our responsibilities done. I don't think you're in a better place, because everybody that just in passing has said this is organized, and there's the blueprint. We talked about that before the season started of how they want to do things. And if you don't want to be on board with that, I don't think it's a bad deal. if you get out. If you have, if you say, well, I only have 4 years to play college basketball and I'm not going to sit for another year because so-and-so's recruiting class is coming in and I don't want to fight for a spot, I think I should play. If you can find a school that says, come on in, we're going to let you hoist 20 a game and you're never coming out,
well,
I get it.
And there's the question, because, again, you're going to be adding a lot of freshmen to this roster. You've got three already. You've got at least two more you can bring in, I believe. You know, Romeo Langford, obviously the big star, the top five recruit nationally, is a guy that everybody's targeting and hoping for.
Yep.
If he comes in here, folks very easily see minutes coming off of their books. So that, you know, that's obviously one of those things we got to wait for,
too. I don't think, and just talking in complete generalities here as not to upset any apple carts, Robert Johnson played 38 and a half minutes a game.
Uh-huh.
There's those minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the issue. The other issue, I think, moving forward is with this is if you don't like the guy. You know, there's a mm-hmm. difference in the style. You might love his style, and you just don't talk the same language. You don't see basketball the same way, or you think,
right.
Man, I want to shoot jumpers. Nah, you're a post guy. Mm-hmm. I want to shoot jumpers. No, you're going to be a perimeter ball handler. Gets us into our offense. Those butting of heads or those style idiosyncrasies are always out there. Do I see anything that jumps off the page for a long-winded answer? I don't. I don't hear any rumblings that says, hey, this guy's not comfortable with this. Most everybody that came here with Archie that was re-recruited,
mm-hmm.
Archie went and met with.
Yeah, absolutely.
He went to their house and said, this is how I see it. This is how it's going to be.
And there's really only two guys that were consistently buried on the roster this year, and that's Clifton Moore and Race Thompson. And again, we knew ahead of time Race was going to be a redshirt.
There was no choice for Race Thompson.
Now, who knows? But
arranged beforehand that he would redshirt.
But he knew ahead of time there was not a time he'd be on the floor.
Now, Race Thompson brings up an interesting point, because I think it's an interesting point that runs through the roster. You've done a year with Archie.
Mm-hmm.
You're ahead of the curve of the next guys that come in.
Right.
Everybody started at ground zero last April or March 29th or whatever the day was when he came in. So you've already been through it once. You know what it's going to be.
Right.
Do you want to go somewhere else, sit out a year, figure out that system, then figure out maybe that's not the system for you?
Right, exactly.
So that's why some of this, I think you need to take a deep breath and say, hold on. Where am I academically? Where am I athletically? Are there any spots out there that want me? I mean, if you're going from the Big Ten, where you play in a brand newish Simon Scott Assembly Hall, and you're playing in some of the biggest big basketball arenas in the country on every major network, playing your tournament in New York City, and you want to go to Walla Walla State, knock yourself out.
Right.
If getting 18 a game for you is more important, that's totally fine.
Talk to Freddie about the difference between the two.
When his eyes finally close.
Yeah, right.
Exactly right. So I think it's a part and parcel of what goes on in today's culture. I don't read into it as anything bad. The one thing that would only make you scratch your head is if you had a situation where two or three guys said, hey, we're out of here and we don't like it and here's why. Mm-hmm. I just don't see that happening. That's not a flag that's been halfway up the mast. You say, you know, that group's not happy there. It doesn't seem to me that's going to be the case.
812-333-2665 is the phone number. This is the kind of ultimate theoretical right now for college basketball, but for IU right this minute, and that is this team didn't have any NBA stars. Now, Juwan Morgan may very well be able to go off and have a career, but this doesn't have a guy that's going to go in the top 10 picks. We don't have a lottery pick right this minute.
Yeah, I could think you could even stretch to say there's not going to be anyone drafted.
Right. And looking forward, though, you know, Indiana has been enjoying some top recruits on and off the last couple years, and we're looking at a top five kid and trying to bring him in. And, oh, by the way, we'd probably bring in another one if there was one available, and certainly would for the next year and would for the next year after that.
Well, that's what you're hoping to start the domino effect to get going.
How much of that type of talent, though, is going to look at Archie Miller's system after 1 year at IU, as defensive as it was, as I can't say controlling because I don't think that's fair on the offensive end, but certainly stressing care over creativity at times. How much is that going to be a red flag for a recruit?
I think that's an interesting question, but I think the answer is more interesting because when every year we get to the Final Four and the KenPom numbers are thrown about, in the Final Four, usually three of those four teams are both in the top 20 defense and offense.
Yep.
There's not a, you know, this isn't Loyola Marymount with Hank Gathers and Bo Kimble where you score 138 a game.
Right.
The really good teams, and I mean the elite teams, they do it on both ends of the floor.
They handle both, that's right.
So if you, and guess what the NBA doesn't do? Recruit one-trick ponies.
Yeah.
That's not in their bag. You have to be the elite of the elite. Jimmer Fredette scored 400 points a game at BYU. Is he playing?
I don't think so.
But that's the point. You talk about not being able to guard a folding chair.
Yeah.
But that's the issue. Do you want to become a better basketball player with a staff that's been around, and I mean this more from the Archie side, who's been at Arizona, who's been at Ohio State, who's been at North Carolina State? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can get that anywhere else. I think that's one of the selling points. The other selling point is all the stuff we have going on here. But when you look at that, those numbers, how many one-way players do you see that just stick out like a sore thumb on elite teams?
Right.
You don't. And I think guys that want to be really good want to be pushed at every level to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all – every team's going to
– Do they all want to be Trae Young, though?
Every team is going to have an 11th, 12th, and 13th guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't want to be that guy, do your homework and make sure you're not that guy. But every team is going to evolve to that at some point.
But again, someone like Romeo would not come in here as a 10th through 13th guy. He would come in as 1 or 1A or 2 at the worst right off the bat.
Right.
And would have that expectation. And that's, I think, the key to the whole thing is the expectation. We talked about the kids, you know, wanting to do what's best for their game going forward, and they should. I just don't know where it all fits in. And I've had this question in general anyways about IU fans. Do IU fans, would you rather see guys who are sticking around for 4 years all the time and developing through a system, and therefore maybe you're not talking about a guy who's out of here after 1 year, or do you not mind having a guy here and a guy there?
The answer is yes, because you have to have all of those parts to make it work, in my opinion. There are so very few programs. Kentucky had no seniors this year for the first time since 1945. I mean, you talk about all their one-and-done guys.
Yeah.
You talk about all the get-out-of-heres and recycle and don't even know it. The first time.
Yeah.
In how many years is that? I can't even count that high.
Well,
45 and 50, 55 and 17 is what?
They've 70, had some teams recently that didn't have anybody playing that were seniors.
That's still – some guys to provide some leadership, mm-hmm. to some guys to know where all the locker rooms are on the road, and all that other stuff that goes along with it. Premium players that go to blue blood programs, Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, whatever you want to call it, the reason they go there is because they know that something is happening. Nobody goes to Kansas. Nobody goes to play – well, maybe Roy Williams. I don't think Roy's group gets after it defensively maybe as much as Duke does,
right.
maybe as much as Kentucky does or Kansas does. North Carolina looks to be the bastion of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You go there, you beat somebody 92-88, we're happy you won 92-88.
Yeah.
But, Krzyzewski doesn't put up with revolving doors.
Well, this year he did, but you're right. That's not been his career.
Right, and if you have younger, talented freshmen and sophomores that score a lot of points – you take what you got.
Yeah, right.
You do that. But does there need to be some rhyme or reason to it?
We're
I think
still 11th in Ken Pom's defensive rankings.
The Indiana fans' dream is Calbert Chaney comes here and plays for 4 years and is the Big Ten scoring leader.
Uh-huh.
That's awesome. I'd have Calbert Chaney, a four-year Calbert Chaney every year.
If you could do it every year.
But because you play here 4 years doesn't – ipso, it doesn't take you,
right.
Hey, he's a freshman. If he stays 4 years, he's going to be – that doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee that's going to happen. So what do you want? You want kids to improve. You want kids to get better. I don't think anybody was talking about Victor Oladipo going to the NBA after his freshman year. I don't think anybody was talking about
OG. Not his first year.
Not his first year until later in the season when he started throwing up some of those great defensive performances.
By the end of the season, they did.
But when you recruit kids at a level in that, I'd say the McDonald's All-American range, because that's what, about 14 kids a team, 13 kids a team, you get 20.
Yeah.
If you're in the top
30. Top 20, top 30.
That's part of what goes on. Do you have to treat those kids differently? Not in the sense of different rules and regulations, but from a basketball standpoint, should they have some more freedom? No, they've earned it, because they're going to come into practice and light everybody up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
They're going to demand the ball. They're going to take the ball.
I mean, look, if you could put the ball in the basket, you're still going to get time.
If you put the ball in the basket, you know what that does? It gets your coach, that gets your coach an extension, that gets you deeper into the tournament. Those are the exciting things that come along with college basketball. So for fans to say, no, look, we only want four-year players, but here's what a fan's going to tell you. We only want four-year players in senior classes unless we can get a bunch of guys like they have to come in and play and go to Final Four.
Right.
So find a happy medium, ride your wave, enjoy it. But I think what Indiana fans would love to have, and they're going to see a little bit of it next year, obviously, the premium players allegedly in the state of Indiana coming to Indiana. Robert Finnessy is signed up to play here. Demezi Anderson is signed up to play here.
Yep.
Demezi's team's unbeaten.
Yes, they are.
They're in a regional coming up on Saturday. We can talk about him because he's already signed up, or I can talk about him because he's already
Finnessy had 34 and 33 over the weekend.
Rob had no problem.
They got knocked out.
No problem scoring points. And that's what makes Indiana fans excited when Indiana kids don't go somewhere else. But the tough part was, now do you have the and that's the question we'll ask. Now do you have the coach in place? I don't know. Do you? Well, when Greg Oden and Mike Conley went to Ohio State and people moaned they didn't come to Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, Thad Mata was at Butler. He was in Indy when those kids were growing up and knew the parent, knew Conley's parents and all that stuff. And then you had some kids go to Duke and Michigan State with Tom Izzo and Mike Krzyzewski, guys that have won recent national championships. And we've got guys that are in their third year ever coaching college basketball, or the Kelvin Sampson stuff that went on there. If you gave me a choice of Krzyzewski or Izzo or other, there's only a couple other guys that you throw in that conversation.
Yeah, I mean,
so
it's,
what you need
it's
to
hard
do,
to argue about the decision.
You need to take some of those players that you bring in and show that you can develop them, and you have to be able to recruit the top tier talent. I'm not telling RJ anything he doesn't know. Of course, that's what he's here for. And when you find that balance, you start winning. What happens? The recruiting pitch doesn't get kids to school.
Right.
The winning does.
Mm-hmm.
You already have great facilities. You already have a pretty good fan base that's built into all this. The dam has to break. Tom Crean's dam broke when? When Cody Zeller decided to go here instead of Butler in North Carolina. That's when the critical mass happened.
That's
it
right.
wasn't Christian Watford.
Right.
It wasn't
no.
Virgil Jones.
No.
It wasn't Jordan Halls, which was great, though, because the city connection is always great.
I mean, you had
but
Yogi.
For an elite. Yogi was after.
After Zeller?
Yeah. Zeller was a sophomore.
I thought he was before him.
I don't think so. Yogi was a freshman on a team that lost to Syracuse.
Hartman would have committed before him, but Hartman wasn't the recruit. Cody Zeller or Yogi Ferrell was.
Cody was the first one.
Yeah, I mean,
then,
you're right. You're
and
right.
And then, but the point was, if Cody doesn't come here, who's to say Yogi doesn't come here?
No, exactly.
Here?
I mean, Yogi seemed to be waiting on something.
Well, that's the domino effect. And again, already a strong class regarded by many. I'm not in the recruiting business. What is Indiana's class? The four-man class with Jerome Hunter, Anderson, Finnessy. It's a top 20 class, isn't it?
I'd say, well, from what I've understood, it's a top 20, top 25.
Okay.
You got a chance of
so you're in the ballpark.
Romeo and knock it out of the park.
Well, and that if that's an option, that's an option. But that's the rankings don't matter. There was a great article, and I haven't read it yet. I saw in the Indianapolis Star. It's the last 15 years of Indiana recruits that were in the top 100, and they've gone through and looked at where they've gone. It doesn't mean you're going to be good.
No, no.
But somebody's got a good eye on you for doing something. So it's an interesting time. The Hoosiers are, I believe, still have, they're obviously practicing because they don't know if they're in the NIT or not. So they're still.
I think they can. I think they're allowed to until
basketball
it's
happening until
over.
It's not happening.
I thought they were allowed to until after the NCAA tournament's
I can't
over.
Keep up with all those rules and regulations anymore. So the point sometimes is no news is good news. But I think if I'm Juwan Morgan, I'm easily going to this NBA thingamajigger. Give me all, just write it down,
Absolutely.
Boys. Give me a binder. Give me a folder. I'd love to see what I need to work on, and I'd love to get better at it. I don't know if Juwan is what position he has at the next level, and
right.
I think that might be the issue. And you know what? Good for IU fans.
Yeah, exactly.
Good for IU
fans.
Got to
take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone. We're back in a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Programming note here for you. We've got more basketball tonight. We've got the Patriot League Championship coming up not long after the show. We will be with you until 7 o'clock.
Bucknell and Colgate.
There you go. And just after 7, we'll turn it over to a pregame for that game.
We had a thriller last night. I'm trying to get my letters straight here. It was a CAA final, and the second seed led 13-7 minutes to go. Boom, gets overtime. Game over in overtime. Team comes back and beats them. Pressure does unbelievable things to teams.
Yep.
So tonight's matchup's interesting, too, because Bucknell is 16-2, something like that, in the league, and the other team they're playing is not in that realm. So they know if they lose, they are not in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
So this is almost like their first NCAA tournament game, and you get a conference opponent.
Charleston beat Northeastern.
Charleston, yeah, the game was in North Charleston, so it was a little bit of a home crowd. But Northeastern had, I want to say, a 13 or 15-point lead in that game. It was double figures. It was under 10 minutes to go, and they started throwing the ball away and started taking bad shots, and the crowd got a little rowdy. So March Madness, it's all around us. It's a weird week for us, though, because we're here in the first full week of March, and we're not talking about games for basketball in our conference or for Indiana. So that is different. But don't worry. We will have the entire field for you coming up on Sunday. Sunday, 5:30 is the tournament show on the airwaves. Westwood One will handle all of that for you. And
we'll also have the SEC championship game.
Yeah, a little earlier in the afternoon.
Tip off at 1 o'clock, pregame just before that.
All right, here's one for you.
All right.
People think the Big Ten championship game in a weird spot this year. Where is the SEC championship game? Do you know?
SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a minute.
Nope. You get three more. You get three more.
Give me a minute.
You get three more.
I haven't looked at it. Give me a minute.
You get three more guesses.
Dallas.
Well, that you're in the right church.
Because I'm thinking A&M. Yeah. Well, Houston.
No. You're in the right pew. You're in the right church. Just the wrong.
Lubbock.
No.
El Paso.
But your premise was right. New member.
Yeah.
Newer member.
St. Louis.
There you go.
I was going to say Kansas City.
There
you
go. I
noticed the ACC is in New York.
They alternate.
Because everybody wants to
they
be
do.
In New York
well,
now.
You've got Syracuse, Pittsburgh. The ACC does have Boston College.
And Duke has always played up in Madison Square Garden.
They
before.
Do. They've they got a huge following wherever they go because they're winners.
Yeah.
And then I think they go Brooklyn.
That was awfully cynical.
I think they go like Brooklyn, New Orleans, Atlanta, D.C. I think they have
They do New Orleans?
They do. Well, it's the South. LSU. I mean, Auburn, Alabama. You got to remember.
There's like Greensboro.
Oh, wait, that's ACC.
And Atlanta.
They've done
maybe.
Tampa, Atlanta. So literally up the coast.
Yeah, Greensboro was a lot. It was frequently
I think
over
they
the
got
years.
Out of there because that was too North Carolina.
Well, a couple years ago, there was the rule of the law over there.
They just put NCAA first and second round games there for there instead.
They got out of Greensboro because of a legal thing, but one of the laws they tried to pass down in Carolina. So they got
right.
out of
they
Greensboro
couldn't
for
have,
a couple years.
Yeah, they could not do that. So.
But anyways, Saturday here on WGCL,
busy
we will have regional basketball as the South Panthers head down to Seymour. Their allotment of tickets is sold out, I saw, which if you want to get in as a South fan, you can't do it anymore. You might not be able to get in at all. But it's a big night. You said Center Grove was in the first game against Evansville North.
Correct.
Is that correct? And then at 12:30-ish,
20 minutes after the first game concludes.
The tip-off between New Albany and Bloomington South. And if South were to win that game and beat Romeo Langford,
Which
is very possible. South is playing very well this year. Then they would play in the evening. And what time would that start if that were to happen?
Chalk Talk at 7:30, the tip at 8 o'clock. All regional finals will begin at 8 p.m.
Wow.
in their designated locations. Edgewood, the Mustangs, are in the Greencastle Regional. They are also game two of the morning session. They will play Lebanon, the Tigers. I had a chance to speak with J.B. Neal this morning for a few minutes. They're excited, fired up, ready to go. If they win, they will play the winner of Danville or Indianapolis Attucks. That's the other side of that bracket. If there is a bump in the road for Bloomington South and Edgewood does their business, WGCL-1 will take off from Seymour Airport and fly over to Greencastle. We have contingency plans in place for all that. Terry Stoltz is the man organizing all of this. So exciting times. It's great to have two local teams. Edgewood has 22 wins.
Oh, yeah. They played great this year.
And
let's not forget what they did in Terre Haute over the holidays.
Huge. And when I talked to Coach Neal today, he talked about that, about how that it did give them
confidence.
Was it
4 days in a row? Something close, or
was
that 2 weekends?
Ridiculous. No, it was in a tight window.
Yeah, it was tight.
Tight window of that. He says his team's really adaptable. But the point we were talking about earlier about offense and defense, they do both. You have to do both.
Yeah.
Look at South, 64-4, 44 against.
Yeah.
You have to. There's not one way to play.
Right.
And I think kids that are well coached at an earlier age figure that out a little quickly. So we will be anywhere we can be for you, the listener. And we'll make arrangements for all of that as the day goes. But we do know one thing and one thing for sure. We will be at Barney Scott Gym. Chalk Talk at noon on Saturday. The tip, cross your fingers. Whenever it happens, it happens. We will bring you every single minute of it.
Look, J.R. Holmes is smarter than everybody in this room.
Pretty
least,
close.
At basketball and a lot more.
Oh, in this room? Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going for bigger.
Well, yes. And more. And more.
County,
Certainly
this
room.
Well, that's a given.
Certainly this room. But we're going to talk about the Panthers anyway.
We should.
What do they need to do against New Albany? And you can't say shut down Romeo because you're not going to shut down Romeo.
And I've talked to three
and
or four people.
Chance Coyle had like 38 when they played up at South, and they came up a little short. So, I mean, obviously you've got to score some points because you think New Albany's going to score some points.
Here's why I think South has a good chance. Number one, I'm a homer. Number two.
They've got a good chance.
They defend.
Yeah, right.
Now, asking them to defend a core group that New Albany has is a little bit different.
And that good of a single player.
The naysayer will say, well, look, they barely scooted by Columbus East. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that was a team that wasn't flying and doing anything. That's fine. It's a one-game series. It's not a seven-game series. It's a one-game series.
On their home court.
But here's what my folks down in Southern Indiana tell me. They tell me that Romeo Langford, when pressured, does not fall into the trap. He does not hoist bad shots.
Yeah.
He does not force it because he has good players around him.
Yeah.
What we should do and what I will do is before we go on the air, obviously I'm going to go back and watch the Floyd Central game.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously pestered New Albany. They're a big team. Mm-hmm. South beat Floyd Central earlier in the year. You've got that kind of triumvirate going around and around. But what I've been told is New Albany has, similar to South, players at all spots that can make shots.
Right.
So if you want to run a double.
The East kid is really good also.
If you want, that's there you go. So if you want to run a double and gimmick something with Romeo, then you're going to play 4-on-3 with the rest of a team that's pretty good. So what does South have to do? I think it sounds simplistic, but I think J.R. Holmes has made simplicity a hallmark. The guy in front of you, don't let him beat you.
Mm-hmm.
And when he shoots the ball, block him out. And when your guy is over on the other side and the ball goes up, you block him out and we all go rebound.
Right.
And then we win that possession. Then we go down to the other end and we're going to be real patient. And we're not going to take the first good three we look at.
Yeah.
We're going to take the first great three we look
at. The trend late in the season against Purdue was let Isaac Haas go one-on-one.
Yes.
And make sure you guard all the three-pointers.
You know why?
But can you do that with Romeo at this level?
No.
I mean, South is a very good basketball team. This is not a David and Goliath situation.
It is not at all. They're both top five teams in the state.
Exactly. But you still have that best player in the state to contend with.
And that's why I think the recipe for beating them is not some kind of witch's brew. It's not a triangle and two and a box and one.
Is it getting up and down
two.
The court?
It is keeping
New Albany. Is it putting 80 on the board?
It is making New Albany uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you do that? You guard the guy that's in front of you. You don't take plays
I'd
off.
I'd say hitting 16 out of 24 threes would do it too, right?
I don't think that would hurt. What New Albany can do, just like anything else, is they're going to try to find ways to get Romeo easier shots than more difficult shots.
Yeah.
And they can do that if Sean East makes shots, mm-hmm. because then someone has to figure that out. But as Terry has told us throughout the year, you've seen the most South games this year, Noah Jager is a pest on defense.
Yes, he is.
You got to stay out of foul trouble, number
yes,
one.
Yes, you do.
But you have seniors like Chris Bamba, mm-hmm. Philip King, 6'1",
guys who can defend,
180 football guys.
They can both defend.
Football guys aren't
thick.
Afraid to fight.
That's exactly right.
They got a rebound.
Good size,
6'1",
6'2", as you
but
mentioned.
What happens in these games, and I touched on it earlier, and it's going to be a huge key to this one, is who does the pressure affect the most? Who takes those bad or questionable shots?
Right.
Who makes those bad or questionable decisions on breaks, when to pull it out, who's going to turn it over the least?
Mm-hmm.
The more possessions you give New Albany, to me, sounds like a bad deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
The more possessions you give South, to me, sounds like a bad deal.
No question.
South shoots the ball like 54%.
Yeah, they're
ridiculous.
Fantastic.
They're shooting 48% from three,
they're
and they're 80% from the line.
Yeah.
So when you take that all into account and you have a really good basketball game, mm-hmm. what does it usually come down to? It comes down to the team that has the most discipline and who can execute under the tightest of circumstances.
Yeah, hit a few free throws.
And South, over the years, has been ingrained. If they need to pull the basketball out and take a deep breath and run some stuff that doesn't involve going to the basket to lull the other other team to sleep, there's no shot clock in high school basketball.
And
you can do that.
They play mostly guys that can handle the ball.
I mean, they
got a couple guys that are more forward types that aren't, but most of their roster is
they
guys that can handle
multiple ways to attack. They have multiple ways to defend. Obviously, playing the New Albany team Thanksgiving weekend, I don't know what you get from
except
you've seen them do it once.
Yeah. You were without Phil King.
He was hurt with a knee issue.
Chris Bamba was out for that one at the very least, so I know you were missing
a couple
kids.
He played the Tuesday night against Edgewood. I know that. So, Grayson Rowland broke his hand somewhere in there. Maybe that was the one that was out.
Mm.
But the point is, South has 10 guys that have played and can play.
Yeah.
So they can run a little – they can run guys – at Langford, what do you want to do? You want to slow him down. You're never going to stop him. So you want to catch him on a cool night, make sure everybody else on New Albany is working, because what you don't want to do is do all the hard work and give up layups.
Yeah.
That's demoralizing.
Yeah.
And Mid South is so well coached defensively by Neil Coyle, Chance's dad.
Mm-hmm.
Chance Coyle,
yes.
33. And Coyle...
You don't have that memorized yet?
Has... No, I was thinking of points, 38 points, making sure to get a number right.
That's right.
He hasn't played well in the regional. mm-hmm. and we're going to talk about that on Saturday. He can't win the game for South
right.
unless South comes with him to win the game.
Yeah.
2 minutes left, 2-point game, go on.
Yeah,
have
well,
it.
Sure, sure.
But it can't
Make
be
play,
2
but...
of 11 at the half
right.
and you're down 15.
Yeah.
That's just not a recipe.
Yep.
But Coyle has earned that right to shoot the basketball.
And
he's earned it.
They've gotten other people involved this year.
Anthony Leal can score.
It's got to be a good shooting night for the Panthers.
And it has to
it
be
It has
balanced.
To be a good shooting night for the Panthers.
Right.
And then, you know, the question to me is if you get into a track meet, is that advisable or not? Because, again, on the defensive side of the ball, how much are you going to hold down that team?
But you have
is
to
a
remember,
big question mark.
Track meet involves what? Pace? Does it involve turnover? If you're turning over New Albany,
yeah.
you're not going to stop and pull it out. You're going to go.
You're going to go. Absolutely.
Put the pressure on
right.
them. And if they're going to turn the ball over, which I've been told that's not the case very much, because mm-hmm. when things get hairy, guess where the ball goes?
Right. Yeah. Give it to Romeo. Let me sit around a little bit.
Let me hang out for just a minute. But what South can do is they can force New Albany perhaps into some pace they don't want to get into. But if South converts on it, great. South only averages 8 turnovers a game. I don't see that being an issue, but
right.
it can't be an issue on Saturday.
Right.
They can't have one of those games where they throw it away 16 times and wonder right. what happened.
You're playing number one. You're playing one of the top 5 or
yeah.
10
and
players in the league, in the nation.
In the state as well.
You're going to have to play well on both ends.
You will, and this should be a basketball game that's won, not lost. There should be a team that wins this basketball
yeah,
game.
I
don't think it's going to be like that. Can it get out of control? Any basketball game you've ever played in can get out
Absolutely.
Of control.
Yeah.
There was a great one the other night. Was it Florida Gulf Coast and somebody else? And on Gulf Coast floor, they're down 62-31 with 15 minutes to go in the second half on their home court as a one seed in their conference tournament. You play the game to play the game, and who reacts to the pressure is great. I don't know what kind of pressure's on Romeo's shoulders.
I don't either. He seems to have taken everything on
fantastically. He doesn't look like he's
he really
bothered
has.
In any
yeah.
interview.
I mean, he's hanging out for hours after games signing autographs. Give the kid all the props in the world.
He is. But, again, it's not a best of 5. It's not a best of 3.
That's right.
It's
one-game
playoff, and that's what makes knockout basketball fantastic. We'll have it all for you. Chalk Talk at noon on Saturday, and hopefully an on-time tip-off. If you would think Center Grove does their business against 12-12 Evansville North.
Yep.
But I just said it's a knockout tournament.
Trace Jackson Davis, Dale Davis's son, plays for Center Grove, so that's a possibility in the championship game too. Got to take off, get a quick break in here real quick. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Again, programming notes for you. Tonight, we've got the Patriot League Championship. Bucknell and Colgate coming up 7:15 is pregame, so just a little bit after the show here. On Sunday afternoon, actually, 12:45 will be pregame for the SEC Championship. So that is Sunday during the day, and then we'll pick up coverage at 5:30 for Selection Sunday. Friday night, we've got a pair of Pac-12 doubleheaders, or semifinals, rather, a doubleheader, starting at 8:45.
All of that's correct.
That is all correct, just very jumbled and not very clear coming from me. But the centerpiece, of course, as always, is Saturday, the Bloomington South Panthers in the Seymour Regional against New Albany. And we'll pick that up somewhere in the 12:30 range, 12 o'clock, 12:30, as we have to wait on the first game, Center Grove and Evansville North. If the Panthers were to knock off Romeo and New Albany, they would play in the nightcap, 7:30 Chalk Talk and 8 o'clock tip for the championship game of the regional. And certainly we wish the Panthers all the best. We wish the Edgewood Mustangs all the best, as they are also playing in their regional. And if things work out a certain way, we might go cover their game, which, hey, get the chopper fired
always
up.
Always a possibility for that.
Both, and I'll teams, have both teams very good and with very good chances to make the evening and make it out of the
both
weekend.
Both balanced offensively and defensively, and I don't think anything's going to scare Edgewood too much. And just like everything else, we hope the officials don't have anything to say with it. Just show up, do your job, and don't be the star of the show, please.
Moving up the road, but staying on the hardwood, the Indiana Pacers are the number 4 seed at the moment. They are behind the number 3 seed Cavs by a half a game, and they are ahead of the Washington Wizards by a half a game. I don't think there's any question this team is playing far better than anyone thought it would when the trades were made and the roster was put together before the first ball was tipped. Victor Oladipo has added 10 points a night pretty much to his scoring average and has become an all-star and is becoming the toast of Indiana and Indianapolis.
Nate McMillan can all of a sudden coach again after a year not learning or not knowing how to coach after coaching 16 years in the NBA. He didn't have a clue how to do it last year.
It's amazing how that works.
That's good.
But guys like Bogdanovich have been a big pickup, and he's putting up numbers, a lot of nights. Miles Turner, I talked to Terry about this a couple weeks ago. This still hasn't become Miles Turner's team like everybody said it was going to. No, it's Victor Oladipo's team. But there's a lot of improvement you can still get out of Miles Turner.
Yep.
And this, you know, this roster could be together for a couple years
Miles
now.
Turner's
and
20.
Adding Turner. Oh, I know. I mean, he's got 20, forever.
21.
But the point there is that you're already seeing fantastic returns from what you got, not expecting anything near this. And you've got a guy with the talent of Miles Turner that really hasn't broken through all the way yet.
No. And the key for this team will be Miles Turner breaking through when that happens, when it doesn't happen, because that's the piece of the puzzle you control. And that's so much part of the game in the NBA now, is where the money's at, what your salary cap's at, these windows that you play in. That's got to be the next step in this. But right now, enjoy the ride of this season. The Pacers obviously started their road trip off a little bumpy, losing in Dallas and Atlanta, but turning around and winning in Milwaukee and in Washington. So that was good. Last Monday night, beating Milwaukee again for the second time in three nights or four nights. I can't count. Jazz tonight, 7 o'clock. The greedy person. Oh, man, if you could just beat the Hawks and the Mavericks, you'd be even higher. Well, that doesn't work that way. You play 82 games, you're going to lose a couple of them down the road. Can the Pacers start dreaming? I don't know, because I don't know in a seven-game series how this all translates. We know one thing. They are very good at home, and you don't get to play all your games at home. So get the higher up the Eastern Conference ladder you go, and things get interesting a lot quicker.
And how in the world does Indianapolis and the Pacers end up suiting Lance Stephenson so well, the kid from New York? It's so odd. But the kid comes here, you let him have his way a little bit.
He disappeared for 3 years and came back.
But look at him. He's back, and now he's a productive guy off the bench, and fans love him.
He's accepted his role.
Well, then the fans have accepted him, too. I mean, he's got some quirks to him.
I think they loved him from day one. It gives the Pacers a little bit of an edge that maybe Miles Turner and Victor Oladipo don't.
Yeah.
Darren Collison, he's been out injured as well. Pacers got a nice team going here.
Yep.
Ride the wave. Enjoy it.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Monday, so tune in then. You've been in the zone.